Welcome to Covenant Leadership, a podcast about discipling into the next generation. We talk about the principles of relational leadership and how to mentor new leaders. Where do we find the passion to drive the vision to the next level? We'll really take you there. Today, Al Purvis and Becky Watson are going to talk about the principle of adoption and why this level of commitment promises the better future.
Okay, so today is an awesome day. We're doing something we've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing our very first ever Continuum podcast.
Yeah.
And this is going to be something that's going to be regularly happening.
Yeah, it is, because we really have a lot on our hearts. And we find that the guys all across Asia really glean a lot of good leadership principles and so on from the things that we've learned mm-hmm. over the years.
Yeah. We've got a huge family team everywhere in the world, and it's hard to get everybody in the same living room, so this is one way that we can do it.
That's right. Very, very convenient.
And then everybody in North America could join us as well.
That's true.
It's awesome. So really happy that you've joined us today, and stay tuned on our website and on our podcast, because we have more great stuff coming up. And today, we're talking about adoption.
Yeah, and the story always starts with adoption back in the beginning when, you know, me and Mom and you were 2 years old and mm-hmm. you had a four-year-old sister.
I played a big role in
this
story.
Yes, you did. Came off the airplane with your teddy bear
yes.
behind you and a four-month-old brother, right? Mm-hmm. And we began by gathering orphans that were left over from the Vietnam War into a big family in Bangkok, Thailand. That was 1982. And through that, we learned a lot about mm-hmm. adoption, a lot of principles that, I mean, surprises and all kinds of things.
Right.
You know, you kind of come ready with some ideas of what it's going to look like, and then, of course, it doesn't look anything like that
right.
once you get into it. The things that we'd even studied and learned and advice that people gave us by the time we got here and actually started the work really didn't
right.
amount to anything.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's true. And the thing I love about this is that a lot of people think, wow, it's an amazing story. You know, I remember going to school and telling people, yeah, I grew up with 31 siblings, and people are like jaw to the floor and they're shocked. But this isn't just a great story. This is actually the principle of the foundation of how the ministry has grown and become successful all across Asia
yeah.
is because of these principles that you learned.
Yeah, that's right. And it really, I can remember, you know, having raised the family for a number of years. And then when we took you guys back to Lethbridge to go to school in mm-hmm. your, what was it, late teens?
Yeah, grade seven for me. That's how I remember
for
it.
Seven,
grade
okay,
seven.
Grade seven for you. The other kids are a little older. And there was a prophetic word mm-hmm. that came from a prophet named Jerry Wolkson.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked us out, Mom and I, in the back of the crowd somewhere in the church and just totally read our mail and said, you know, that you've been looking after children. He didn't know us from anybody mm-hmm. and said, you've been looking after children and learned how to be a family. And that now God is going to translate that into the nations, and there's going to be almost like leaders who are orphaned, that was kind of the thought of it, that would come from the nations and adopt themselves into a great family that we would be the parents of. And mm-hmm. so that was really shocking for us. At that point, we had gone back to Canada really to get a hold of a church planting vision. The family
right.
had grown, and we wanted to expand and to extend the ministry into mm-hmm. church planting. So, that
so
was
that's
kinda
what happened then. So then part of this with the whole adoption thing is this is kind of a different concept for a lot of people, because when they think of ministry, a lot of times we look at business models, there's a lot of organizational mm-hmm. structure, that kind of thing. But when we actually look in the scripture, the way that God set up, I mean, even just with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the mm-hmm. way that he set us up to be adopted into his family, he totally views ministry in a family type setting, doesn't he?
But that's certainly our perspective. And
mm-hmm.
like you say, there are a lot of other models that
right.
people are using and following and having success with. But for us, I think the adoption idea really solves a lot of issues. It
mm.
solves issues of can I trust the people that we bring in?
Mm.
Or how do I know if I can trust them? How do I know if this is going to work out? How do we
right.
read those kind of things before they cause problems? It's just all that kind of stuff. When you think of a family model, there's a lot more kind of telltale
right.
signs and so on that happen, as well as a lot higher level of commitment. And that's
right.
one of the things that we find with an adoption. In fact, the way the ministry runs here, both you and Maddie live on the top floor of this building.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Mom live on the bottom floor, and everybody else lives in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a 24/7 family atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. Some people would think, well, no, that's a little, you're tied in a little too close there. You need your space.
Right.
But I don't, you know, we're called to make disciples.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
to make disciples, you have to pour your lives into people.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, you've got to be, it's proximity, it's a commitment, it's a willingness to spend time together and all those kind of things, which the family model to me really does give us a clear direction and a clear pattern.
Yeah, that's right. It's good because sometimes in ministry you feel like your leaders, they kind of have this barrier, right? This boundary that you can't cross. And I know it's also been taught, and I mean, the way that people think about this is different, but it's been taught, you know, that God is first and then your family is second and then your ministry is third. And then you get this picture where if it's outside of your relationship with God and outside of your relationship with family, then you need to have, there's like this distance, there's this removal, this space, right? Where you are not as important as my kids are, you are not as, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And for me, growing up in a house where you guys adopted other kids and, you know, I grew up in close proximity with people who weren't my blood siblings, but yet at the same time, you loved them the same way that you loved us, and there wasn't an issue or anything like that. For me, I've seen how empowering that is, right? And for myself, even the benefits that I had by having a lot of siblings and people who, I mean, I don't remember ever having a bored moment in my childhood, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really hard to find, you know, space to go to the bathroom, so how could you be bored? But There seems to be this distance in the North American culture where you can't let people get so close. Adoption or that family model kind of gets rid of that, right?
Right. That teaching was actually very popular, Becky, when you know, when about the time you were born, and I remember that, you know, you kind of prioritize your life, and
that was 16 years ago.
Yeah, that was right, at least. And I can't remember being able to work that out in my mind. I remember thinking about it, and I thought it just doesn't make sense. On paper, maybe it looks good, but I could never and never have been able to separate, for example, my ministry from my relationship with God.
Right.
I've never gotten confused between my God and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've never really had to. And the fact is, you know, our life is our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never found that switch where you can put it on different tracks.
Right.
And so I found that the more closely we can be tied in with the presence of God and the purpose of God and the people that God's put around you, the more empowered and the more successful we are. So I think that is really important. And so as you know, we talk about a principle of adoption or a family model of leadership, we really are talking about a level of commitment that is not comparable to anything else.
Right. Yeah. I love the fact that when we were growing up, that we were so involved in the ministry, right? Like you had us doing worship for crusades. We did kids ministry, even though we ourselves were children and we're like doing kids ministry. But basically there was no separation between, like as a family, our family purpose was to serve God, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so we did it together. It wasn't like we had, our family was this special box or whatever. And then on the weekends we went to church and that was our ministry to God. Our family life was ministry life.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And that really caused us to, I mean, it's just normal for us, right? To just be involved in serving people, praying for people, doing whatever it was that we need to do.
Yeah.
And I think it helped set us up for a healthier life, like in the sense where it's okay. I'm comfortable with the idea of the fact that I live here to serve other people, right? That my life is for the service of others. It's not just to serve on the weekends after I've had my family time or whatever, right?
Because
we can be really selfish about our time too, but
it's true.
Anyways, let's get right into it because we've kind of set the stage here about adoption. But what really is adoption? Because we see it, you know, legally it's a transference of ownership almost, right? A signed document where now this child belongs to you kind of thing. You have the responsibility to raise them and grow them. But really adoption isn't a legal transaction. It's something that has to happen because you can physically adopt a child who still feels like an orphan. So what is adoption?
That's right.
What does that look like?
And that's right, Becky. The thing is that the you know, the father-son adopting of a son or daughter, whatever, the parents adopting a kid is a real good picture of the way adoption works in the kingdom of God too.
Right.
Like God put that spirit in our hearts where we cry, Abba Father, and so on, and draws us into the family by something that runs deep, something that we are willing to give our lives to, not only because it's a big sacrifice that we're willing to make, but also that where we see our destiny is where we see everything that we need fulfilled in our lives. Our real fulfillment is in that adoption. And so I think that's the first thing about adoption is we have to have a really clear picture of the family vision, whether it's a church, local church, or whether a ministry like this or whatever it is, or even our own personal families.
Right.
We've got, as parents, you know, as a dad and the priest of the home, I have to present a very clear picture to the whole family as to why we exist, what our purpose is as a family, and then run with that. Like you say, we used to travel and you know, 2 months every summer, mm-hmm. we would pack up our mm-hmm. whole family, like 36 people, and go somewhere where there was crusades or something we could get involved in, mm-hmm. Just because of that. And it did, it really builds a tremendous, it's not just camaraderie, but it's a relationship of love, really, mm-hmm. and trust. And I mean, and you know that it's not always easy.
No.
It's not that there's no glitches.
No.
It's not that nobody ever gets upset. Mm-hmm. I think we have as much of that or as more as anybody because of the proximity.
Mm-hmm.
But really, to be able to paint a picture, and as dads we have to be, you know, visionaries, right, in the mm-hmm. sense that we've got to be able to communicate a real good purpose for the family. So and I honestly I believe that a lot of kids don't connect to their families,
right,
because the parents haven't painted a real picture of purpose and they don't really know why we exist as a family,
right?
And you see that those really loose relationships, and then get into the teen years and it's really difficult
mm-hmm.
to have any kind of fellowship or any kind of, you know,
right.
Unity in the family because that picture has never been there. And so, you know, I thank God that we were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having, you know, 33 kids, of which you redheads were four mm-hmm. of them, really put us in a position where we had no choice
right.
but to do that. And so,
yeah.
I, you know, I thank God for that pressure as well.
It was an accident that you stumbled
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right.
And it works. It's good. Yeah, I think, you know, you talk with a lot of people from North America particularly, just, I mean, even whatever, but people are looking for a purpose. And a lot mm-hmm. of times it seems like it's so individualized, right?
I
have my purpose. I'm looking for my ministry. And there's like a lot of confusion as to how you find it, and people kind of just stumble here and stumble there. It makes it really difficult when you're trying to walk by yourself,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
But when you know that you're called to a particular house, right,
mm-hmm.
a particular ministry,
mm-hmm.
a particular tribe, you can connect to that vision of the tribe.
So true.
And it's
yeah.
no longer I'm trying to find my purpose. You're working mm-hmm. in a family, working together for a common goal. And it takes away a lot of that confusion, right?
Right, right. Another myth is, that we heard a lot
mm-hmm.
back in the day, and it may be still floating around somewhat, is that if you'll serve another man in his vision,
mm-hmm.
God will give you a vision of your own.
Right.
And it turns out God will never give you a vision of your own. It's not your vision in the first place.
Right.
In fact, one of our 10 tenets of Victory Asia or Victory Churches is that the vision is God-authored. God gives us the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there is a principle, definitely we serve other people and then God will give you your own responsibilities. But there is no place for an independent vision
right. yeah.
anywhere.
That's
we
right.
are part of the body of Christ and we are kingdom-minded people. And Christ already has the vision. You know,
mm-hmm.
God is the father of the house.
Right.
We don't need a bunch of sub-fathers.
Right.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the father and he already has the vision. And
mm-hmm.
it's to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then so far what we've basically discussed or talked about is the fact that from your experience and from what your understanding of scripture is that whether it's in a family, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a ministry, the model of adoption, the model of working together in a family vision
mm-hmm.
is the best model that you've seen that produces something worthwhile, right? It keeps
mm-hmm.
our relationships
absolutely right.
tight. It keeps people from jumping around all over the place. Everybody has the same focus, the same vision, the same goal. And we're working together in a really, it's a relationship. It's, I mean, like family, right? You can't just break away from it because
yeah,
you don't like somebody.
Right. Yeah.
So if that's the model that we want in our ministry and in our churches, where do you start? How do you adopt yourself into a family or into a ministry?
Yeah, okay. Well, even before we go there, Becky, let me include business as well.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a businessman, I would use the same model.
Yeah.
And we see that working in a lot of Asian places
mm-hmm.
like Japan,
yes.
where, you know, you work for Honda, you're part of the Honda family.
Yeah.
You guys go on holidays together.
It's
you know,
true.
It's quite a thing. And so it really does work and it brings a tremendous success
mm-hmm.
into it. So to get people to come into the vision, of course, we're doing that all the time.
Right.
I mean, you know, we spend our summers traveling in Canada recruiting
mm-hmm.
people to come into the vision. And basically what you're doing is putting out there a reason that people would want to work together in
mm-hmm.
what particularly what you're doing as a in the kingdom.
Right.
And I think a lot of it is that we want to attract people that want to be mentored
mm-hmm.
or learn how to do it the way we've done it. Not saying that it's all right,
right mm-hmm.
but at least there, you know, that because that's what Jesus said, make
mm-hmm.
disciples, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to attract young people or whatever, whoever people into what you're doing and get them involved In the whole mentoring process and in all the, we're traveling all over Asia. We're taking people with us everywhere we go, you know, and all the things that we do. I mean, it's just crazy the stuff that's going on.
It's true.
And it's all just a great big fun family affair, right? Mm-hmm. It's like family reunion all year round in Pakistan, Burma, wherever we go. So it's very cool as well.
Yeah. So it's a different perspective of those that are coming in too, right? Because some people, they kind of join a ministry and they think, how will I be fulfilled in this role?
Right.
But when you have the attitude of you're coming in to adopt yourself to a ministry, it's how can I serve the vision of the family? It's
less individualistic. Yeah, that's right. And I think too, what one thing that I've seen that's absolutely floors me is that when we share this vision that God has given us and raised us up in, and again, it's not our vision, it's His vision, obviously it has to be, but that people with such tremendous potential will actually lay down their other options to serve in this option. And and I think that's just really, to me, that speaks a lot of confidence that, you know what, Al, you're on track with what God has given you to do, and people are seeing it and connecting to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so we're going to come back and talk about this in a few more minutes. And we're basically going to get into the next part as far as how adoption works together with leadership. So stay tuned. There's much more coming back after this.
If it's comfort and familiarity you're looking for, you better pay a little more and stay at one of those colleges close to home. There's no easy boy, lazy boy, fat boy to sit on. But if you land in Bangkok, you will find yourself on the front lines of the Great Commission. If you have what it takes, so do we.
For more info, go to victoryasia.com and enlist yourself into your destiny.
You look up and see the dark night lit up by the multitude of stars that cover as far as the eye could see. That's the multitude of people in different nations you will touch. All it takes is a change in perspective to see what's inside of you. 7 weeks to change you, 7 weeks to change Asia. Sign up for a life-changing summer with 7 weeks in Asia at victoryasia.com.
Okay, so welcome back, and here I am again interviewing my dad, first time in my life, having a lot of fun doing this. It's good.
It's great.
Maybe mom will give me some feedback. She usually does. It'll be good. Next time we have to have her on.
Yeah, that's right.
But then it'll be like a really long podcast. She has like a million stories of when
sure
we were
does.
Growing up. And she's always so great at it. She does voices and everything. Anyways, focus. So we're talking about basically having a family mindset as we lead in our churches, in our ministries, even in our businesses. It's true that businesses that kind of use the model of adoption where people feel like they're part of a family do a lot better. They're more productive.
That's
There's a lot more health in the organization. People flourish and they grow and they love what they do. So then let's talk about the practical, in some practical terms, because in the churches and in the business world, there's a lot of emphasis on leadership right now. There's tons of leadership teaching and everybody's trying to be a leader, which is awesome. But when you lead as a father, how is that different than leading as a boss?
Boy, there's a lot of major, major differences, obviously, just in the picture of it, right? A father-son, father-daughter relationship compared to a, well, master-servant or boss-employee, whatever it may be, is a totally different level. Success or failure comes, obviously, then to the condition of the heart.
Right.
And I think, first of all, as a father, you have to be discerning enough to know who's the prodigal son, who's the prodigal son who's returned, and who's the elder son who's jealous, right? Because you've got a lot of those dynamics, and you've got to get to the bottom of that. You've got to cut through all of that so that each member of the team sees their potential and you know, the possibility. And their purpose, rather than what they're missing out on or what they're not getting, or you've never killed the fatted calf for me, or any of that kind of stuff. And that really comes down to the spirit of the heart. And so when we're talking about the spirit of adoption, it is that spirit in the heart. It's something that says, I am adopted to this family because I see further into the future. I see a greater purpose than what I got or didn't get today.
Right.
When you've got someone who thinks in terms of the relationship with you as how much you're giving me, that is a boss employee.
Right.
employer-employee. And it's not an adoption. It's not a family. Right. And it can't be trusted.
It's just an exchange. That's, as long as I'm getting something
absolutely.
From you, I'm going to...
Yeah, it's a win-win, right? Mm-hmm. And so... And you'll recognize that in your family.
Right.
Because there's sometimes, you know, a kid will have that attitude. Look, right. I'm not getting enough here. Mm-hmm. I need more. I deserve more, whatever it may be. And so we have to continually... And you know, Becky, that I do this. I mostly lead the ministry or the spirit of the ministry through preaching for mm-hmm. number one. That's the, you know, the weekly mm-hmm. messages to the staff and that kind of thing. That's number one. And then after that, it's just all through relationship, basically. Mm-hmm. I find it's very important that I go around and see everybody, just right. say hi, you know, check in. I mean, we've got two buildings and they're mm-hmm. 4 or 5 kilometers apart. And so sometimes I just need to get in a Jeep and go down mm-hmm. there and say hi to everybody, as well as the guys all across Asia. Yeah. And I don't like using a telephone. I never use a telephone. I don't even have one.
Right.
So I've had to develop different ways.
You know, it's a 2017, hey?
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yes, but anyway. Yeah. If you can live without the phone, go for it.
I'm still looking for the payphone. but you know, so I've had to develop other ways that fit me, right? That fit my character, my personality, and being able to do that. And so, I mean, traveling has a lot to do with mm-hmm. it as well. Like right now, I'm on my way to 5 different countries in the next couple months.
Right.
And it's not like a big splash thing. It's just I need to be there to be with the guys mm-hmm. to let them know that they're loved and that they're cared right. for and that kind of thing.
So then one of the main distinctions you're making then leading as a father between just leading as a boss or a leader is that you're really looking at individuals, the health of those relationships, mm-hmm. and everything that you're doing is in the health of those relationships, right? Helping them grow, helping them develop.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay, so then here's another issue with when we come to businesses or companies or churches or anything. When there's a problem, when somebody makes a mistake or they mess up mm-hmm. somehow, the way that a father would deal with that and the way that a boss would deal with that is totally two different things, right?
Right.
So, like, the father would think about the heart of the child, whereas mm-hmm. the boss is looking to, you know, the health of the ministry or the productivity
right.
of the ministry or whatever.
Right,
so,
right.
speak to that. As a father, when you have that mentality, how do you deal with people problems?
Well, first of all, you have to understand as a father that this ministry isn't going anywhere by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is about, the main focus of the ministry is the people in the ministry.
Right.
It's not how much we can accomplish or where we can go,
mm-hmm.
how big we can look. So that's key, is to understand that the people in the family is your number one focus. They are your number one mm-hmm. responsibility. And of course you got to look at them in that kind of care, but it's amazing how much doesn't go wrong
mm-hmm.
if you just, you know, do a few simple things like pay attention, spend
right.
time, you know, encourage people,
mm-hmm.
You got to celebrate your wins and all of those kind of things. But then when it comes down to the real issues, the real conflict issues,
mm-hmm.
honestly, I find that when there's a serious conflict, it's a lack of adoption.
Mm.
There's a major key missing. And I have a saying that when there's a conflict in the ministry, I gently push in the direction that I want it to go
mm-hmm.
until it breaks one way or the other. And
right.
we're talking about people making
right.
a decision. They make a choice. Either they're going to get on board
right.
and say, no, we are going to do it this way because we can't do it divided,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not part of this thing, I'm not adopted here, and I'm going to move on to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's better too. You don't want people around who have an ulterior agenda
right.
or purpose, because they become critical,
mm-hmm.
they become undermining and that kind of thing. The neat thing about the family picture is that, I mean, anybody comes to this ministry and visit, and we like to have people come and visit because it's
mm-hmm.
such a wow thing.
Yes.
And they're so blown away with the unity and with the, you know, just the way everybody just is so honoring
mm-hmm.
Each other. And that comes from a family. You don't have that kind of honor
yeah.
between masters and servants or employees, employers, that
sure.
kind of thing. You only have that in family. And when I just think, you know, I see all the faces of the people in the ministry,
mm-hmm.
You know, go through my mind, and I think, man, they're just so honoring.
Mm-hmm.
And because they honor me and we honor them and they honor one another, that
mm-hmm.
That spirit of adoption really does take care of most of the issues.
Right.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of hassle to deal with, yeah.
Other than that. So then basically all the leadership principles, everything that we read that helps us be better leaders, they all work the same. The difference is,
mm-hmm.
as a father, you have a heart that's turned towards your kids, right? You're always thinking about
your
kids.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And in the family vision, so
mm-hmm.
that's good. So keep learning, keep growing in those leadership principles, but be a
yes,
father.
Yes, that's
in it, right,
yeah,
don't
be a father.
Boss in it.
Yep.
Okay, so then let's talk about this. How can you know if someone is adopted to you? One of the things that you said before we recorded that I really liked is you said that you can't adopt yourself to the Father without adopting yourself to the other members of the family.
Right.
That's probably one of the big keys. But how is it that you can tell someone's actually adopted themselves to the family and they're not just sucking up to you?
They won't be critical.
Hmm.
And I actually, this is a secret, nasty little trick. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, keep it.
But in the beginning, whenever there's a new relationship being formed, one of the first things I do is allow room for testing.
Hmm.
And in fact, if there's, you know, we get people that want to come and work in the ministry, and you can tell they want to come and be a hero, and they've got an agenda, and they want what the ministry can do for them rather than, you know, what they want to put into the ministry. And so I really test them.
Mm.
You're going to be washing toilets for the first year, and then you watch the reaction and that kind of thing. And they'll blow up and blow out, and they'll be gone because there's no adoption there. They don't see the purpose. They just see an opportunity for themselves.
Right.
And as the ministry grows or the company grows or whatever it is that grows, it looks better and better all the time. And you'll have more people attracted to it just for personal benefit's sake.
Right, yes.
And so you have to refine those things all the time. We have a deal now, and a lot of people have a tough time with this. We won't accept anybody as a missionary unless they come through the Bible College. I don't care if they're 80 years old.
Right, or have pastored. I mean, we've had people who've pastored successfully for years that had to go through a year of the Bible school.
And the ones that do it turn out to be absolute gems.
Right.
And the ones that say, well, I've already had my training. I don't need to. I just come to, you know, I just want to work. Because they're not even listening to you in the first place.
Right.
They've got their own mind, and they're thinking about how they're going to fit in and how this is going to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of those things, and it's not just about, you know, humbling them.
Yeah.
It's about putting them in the place where they actually get to build that relationship with the family.
Right.
You can't go from newborn to driving dad's car, you know, like it doesn't work. So you've got to have that time where you can really connect to the family.
So then that's a really good key, because a lot of times we look for really qualified people, even in our business or whatever, right, in our church. We're looking for qualified people, and when they have the qualifications, we say that person's it. But they haven't had the time to form the relationship with the family or to even really understand the vision in a deep way. Like they might know, you know, we're called to reach, teach, and mobilize, but they don't understand how we as a culture do it, how we as a family do it, the things that are important to us. So that is actually setting them up for success as well, like you said, right? Because there are people that are coming that are looking for a platform, or there are people that are coming that are just looking for a family, and we want people to join the family. And
that's
not
right,
look
for No, the platform idea is not... It can work, but it's a different system. It's a different model.
Right.
You know, it's a 9-to-5 model, and then they go home. And you don't really know them that well, but they could do a good job for you. But what we're doing here, it just doesn't work like that.
So, is there room for that in a ministry or even in a business setting, where you have the core people that are like family, and then you have people that are like the platform people? They come 9-to-5. Does that ever work?
I suppose it could in business if you just want somebody to do a job.
Right.
I don't think we have any room for that.
No.
And I don't think we have anybody like that. And even if they do, they might come with that thinking because they don't have another paradigm.
Right.
But once they get in to the way things work, they'll adjust and they'll kind of get revelation. And you know.
And I think the truth is, as a leader, if you recognize the value of every position, whether it's somebody out front servicing customers to the person that's keeping your stockroom organized, right? If you recognize the value of the job that they do, then you want them to be on the family team, because regardless of the status or the whatever, everybody contributes something, right?
So. I mean, one of the most beloved people in this whole Victory Asia is our Banu cook, you know, like everybody loves her. Like she's kind of the
and
matriarch.
She knows it too.
She knows it, and she plays that card. No,
she plants it. She's like, I'm the queen bee. Yeah.
That's
good. So then what do you do if you are in a church or in a family, and we'll end with this question here, where you really have that heart of adoption, like you're committed to the vision, you're committed to the family, you're committed to the ministry, you're committed to the business, but either your leader or even the people that you're working with, they're not on the same page. Can you be a son in that way and still serve, even if the father's kind of like clueless about the fact that he's a father?
The answer is absolutely yes. And if you don't serve, you've just cut yourself off from ever being a father.
Right.
Because we've come through, obviously, every one of us does. We come through leadership that's good, come through leadership that's bad. Some of the most difficult things in your life you'll face are the decisions that your leaders make that affect you that you don't agree with. And it's not a matter of submitting to everything that doesn't make sense.
Right.
It's a matter of honoring the leadership and drawing, gleaning what they have for you and what, you know, what they can impart to you. And I can go through my life and pick out the different things, you know, character things that I've gained from different leaders that we've been under and where they weren't necessarily that effective in the ministry.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't a father, but you still were.
That's right, yeah.
So I guess that's one of the big things, and a key is when you're talking about family in ministry and in relationship, is that if you are in a family, there's a sense of protection there where not everybody might be doing the role properly, or they might even not know how to do the role to the best of their ability, but you're so committed to the family that your performance or your ability to serve isn't dependent on their ability to be the person they're called to be, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You're committed to the vision, you're committed to the purpose. Whereas if it's not like that, you can get frustrated with your boss and say, I'm going to go work somewhere else.
Totally, absolutely, totally. And it's neat, too, the whole synergy among the family, too. It's not just father and son relationships. Mm-hmm. It's the sibling relationships as well.
Right, yeah.
That empower, yeah.
Yeah, and you're more committed. You're committed to the person because you're committed to the family, not because of how well they perform. And that actually allows people to grow into being the person that God's called them to be, right? When you see the value that God's placed on their life and you hold them by that standard, not by where they're failing. So the takeaway from today's program is that if we approach our families, approach our ministries, approach our businesses with this idea of working together in a spirit of adoption, where we adopt ourselves to each other, we adopt ourselves to the family vision, then it causes us to be able to grow and to advance and to work together in a deeper level of commitment that we would find in any other setting.
That's right. It's the benefits of the deepest level of commitment.
Deepest level of family relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody benefits from that. That's awesome. So we'd like to thank you, Dad, for being on today's program.
Well,
you
anytime.
Did a good job. We might have you back again.
Okay.
So, you know, keep your calendar open. And thank you to all of our listeners who are participated with us today and listen to our Covenant Leadership Podcast. And please subscribe to our bi-monthly news and updates, and you can subscribe at victoryasia.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can rate it, comment, or you can share it. And if you have any ideas for topics you want us to talk about, also leave that in the comments and we'll take a look at that. Thank you again for listening to Covenant Leadership, and come back again for more exciting stuff.